today we're going to be looking at Psalm 128, which reads like this. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat of the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just give these next few moments to you as we see, God, just what your word says to us today. So, Father, we just ask and pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you know every need, God, every hurt, every concern, Father, of those that are in this room, of those who are watching online. Father, we just ask and pray that you would bless us this morning and speak to our hearts. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. And if you do have your copies of the Word of God today, please join me in Psalm 128. We are going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. So the past several months have been a crazy few months, right? Anybody with me? The past several months have been, for me personally, some of the craziest months in my life. And in talking to many of you who are much more seasoned in age than I am, many of you have told me, man, Caleb, I've never seen anything like this. I've never gone through anything like this in my life before. And I don't know about you, but in my life personally, I mean personally, being at home with three little kiddos for 3 long months, and I'm tired. Anybody else tired in this place? Just me? Seriously? How are you guys getting rest? I want some of what you guys are having, all right? But I'm just tired. I mean, the past 3 months, we've gone through a global pandemic and this virus that has, of course, plagued our world, not just us, but our entire world. We've seen millions upon millions of people that are unemployed. For a time, we were locked up inside of our homes. All the pools are closed through June. Goodness gracious, anybody got a pool that we can come hang out in this afternoon? Anybody at all? I'll pay you for it, all right? Well, we've seen a tanking economy. We've faced isolation. Even today, we're seeing things like these race riots that are going all throughout our world and all throughout our nation. And to be honest, we don't know what tomorrow holds. To be honest, we don't know if things will ever be back to normal. I mean, I'm trying to, as your pastor and as your shepherd, we're trying to navigate this as your lead pastors. We're trying to navigate this time. What's next for us? What's the new normal for us going to be? Moving forward, many of us are asking this question, is all of this going to turn out all right? I mean, I've asked that question, and I'm sure that many of you have asked that question. You might be asking this question, is there any hope for me? And I want to answer that question this morning. Is there any hope for me? And the answer is this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the answer is this. Yes, there is hope for you. There is hope for tomorrow for you. There is hope for your future, for believers in Christ. Yes, there is hope for tomorrow. You agree with that today? There is hope for you for tomorrow. So this morning, we can all, in a sense, breathe. We can, in a sense, relax. We can, in a sense, rest, because we may not know what tomorrow holds, and we do not know that. But guess what? The Savior that we're following, he knows what tomorrow holds. Therefore, there is hope for us. And I know what the Bible says. You see, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of all of this crisis, guess what? The Word of God still is the same. The Word of God has not changed. The promises in the Word of God are still true for you. They're still true for me. They're still true for us tomorrow. So let's rest in that this morning, that yes, there is hope for us tomorrow, because God has not changed and the Word of God has not changed. So yes, there is hope for believers in Christ. Again, let's look at this psalm and what this psalm promises us in the midst of life's chaos, in the midst of life's crisis. It says this, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." And please understand that that promise that the Bible says that blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, that promise rings true in times like we're facing. That promise has not gone away. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And that word blessed that the psalmist uses here is the Hebrew word esher. And you know what it means? It means happy. It means happy in the Lord. But please note this morning what it doesn't mean. Please understand, this word blessed, it means happy, but it doesn't mean rich. It doesn't mean prosperous. It doesn't mean always successful. It doesn't mean that you'll always have comfort. It doesn't mean that you'll always have a pain-free life. It doesn't mean that you'll have perfect health. No, it means that you'll be blessed. It means that you'll be happy when you're walking with the Lord in spite of not having these things. You're blessed. So blessed, it says, you're happy. And it says this, for everyone who fears the Lord. What's that mean? That phrase, fears the Lord, it means to stand in awe of him. It means to respect him. It means to honor him. It means to give him reverence. You see, there are blessings to fearing God. And the word of God speaks all about this. It says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. In other words, whenever you fear God and you stand in awe of him and respect him and give him the honor and reverence that is due his name, the word of God promises us that we will have no lack. In other words, he will provide for us. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. You're blessed whenever you delight in what the word of God says and follow what the word of God says. Proverbs 28, blessed is the one who fears the Lord sometimes. It's not what it says. It says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord what? Always. Who stands in awe of him always. Gives him the respect and honor and reverence that's due his name always. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. In other words, whoever says, I am not going to believe this, I'm not going to follow that, or I'm only going to follow the parts of the Bible that I like, says that person will fall into calamity. Deuteronomy 6, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. What's that? That's the word of God. To fear the Lord, our God. Look what it says. For our good what? Always. You see, you are blessed whenever you fear God. It's for your good. It's not to hinder you. It's not to oppress you. It's not to put you down. No, the Bible calls us to fear God for our good always. It says, to fear the Lord, you're blessed whenever you do that. And it says you are blessed whenever you walk in his ways. What are his ways? Well, I've mentioned that several times already. His ways are obeying his word, doing what his word says. It's following after him with a whole heart. It's doing what his word says, even if it's difficult, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it goes against our flesh. It's submitting our lives to his total and full and complete lordship. It's loving Jesus. It's loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. It's being totally committed to God and his ways. Moses told the children of Israel, and these verses apply to us today. He says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? And you can say it like this, and now Lake Center Baptist Church, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, he told them, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, he says, if you do these things, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Joshua, moving forward, he reiterated to the children of Israel, and this applies to us today as well. He said, only be careful to observe the commandment in the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. The prophet Hosea declared, whoever is wise, again, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. Say that out loud with me. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Can I just remind you today, believer in Christ, there is hope for you today. There is hope for you for tomorrow, and there is hope for you for all of eternity. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. The one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will be blessed in their work. Even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of global pandemics, the one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will be blessed in their work. Again, look at what the psalm says. It says, you shall eat of the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. So agriculture was a big deal in Israel during this time. And this psalm is saying that God would bless the Israelites' crop and their labor if they would fear the Lord. It would be well with them. And we see this happen often in the Old Testament. If you go back and you read the book of Ruth, you know, there was a lot of crazy things going on in the book of Ruth. That we see whenever we study the book of Ruth that people were doing what was right in their own eyes. But in the midst of that, you see this man whose name was Boaz. And Boaz was a man who loved God and he feared God. And in the midst of this time, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this famine that was going on in the land, God blessed Boaz in the midst of that. He blessed his work. He blessed his crop, so much so that he was able to bless other people in the midst of chaos. He feared God. If you go back and you read, of course, in the book of Genesis, you see the man Joseph. He was a man who feared God, and he was taken captive, and he was placed in Egypt. And as a result of him loving God and fearing God in Egypt, God allowed this man Joseph, an Israelite, to become second rank in Egypt. And during this time, God blessed his work. There was a famine in the land, and Joseph was able to store up crop for the people of Egypt and also for surrounding nations. And as a result, God blessed him. God blessed his work. You see, church family, when you and I fear God and walk in his ways, he will bless our work as well. He will allow us to have work and to be provided for. He will allow us for our work to be fruitful. He will allow us to enjoy our work. You see, the Bible tells us this, that being able to enjoy our work and being able to work is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes 2, Solomon says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Solomon goes on to say, behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and to find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and to rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. You see, God gives you joy in your heart whenever you are working, whenever you fear God and walk in his ways. What is work? Of course, it's our jobs, careers. It's volunteering, It's serving in the local body of Christ. It's being a stay-at-home mom. You see, the one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will be blessed in their work, even in the midst of a pandemic. Next, the one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will have a blessed marriage. Verse 3, it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. What is a fruitful vine? Well, if you go back and you read in the Word of God, the vine always stood for things like this: fruitfulness, sexual charm, peace, and festivity. One commentator says this, that this verse is a picture of marital attractiveness and sexual enjoyment. That's what this verse is talking about. Many of you have maybe heard this phrase, and I've heard it in my life: happy wife, happy life. Amen. You guys said that really loud. You guys have experience in that, right? You guys said that right off the bat. That was awesome. That was so perfect. Happy wife, happy life. And men in this place, if you and I, if we want to have happy wife, happy life, then the best thing that we can do is to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways. You see, church family, when you fear God and walk in his ways and lead your family to fear God and to walk in his ways, it causes blessings to fall on your home. It causes blessings to fall on your spouse as it points her to Christ. It causes blessings to fall on your children. It causes blessings to fall on your intimacy with your spouse. As Tyson said this past week, if there's ever a reason to fear the Lord and walk in his ways, this is it, right? This is it. You see, there are millions of self-help books on marriage. There's millions of self-help conferences. There's millions of different types of resources that we can look up on how to have a good marriage. And guess what? These aren't always bad. Let's understand, church family, the best thing that you can do for your marriage is to fear God and to walk in his ways. It's that simple. By worshiping together, by serving God together, by being totally committed to the ways of God together. The one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, as the Word of God tells us, will have a blessed marriage. Next, moving forward, the one who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will have a blessed family. Look at the rest of verse 3. It says, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And the olive tree in the Bible, it always was referring to things like longevity or productivity or hope. It could also mean a promise for the future. In my life, I've come to realize this these past 11 years raising children, that parenting is difficult. It's difficult. It's by far it's the hardest thing that I have ever done as a human being, is leading children and raising children and parenting children. But I'm hanging on to this promise that, I don't understand all there is to know about parenting. I think I fail more than I get it right when it comes to leading my children and parenting my children. It's a very difficult thing to do, but I am holding on to this promise that God will bless me, that God will bless you, that God will bless us in our parenting whenever we fear him and whenever we walk in his ways. We have to hold on to that promise. I was reading just some different commentaries on this passage of scripture this past week, and I read this one actually early this morning as I was just continuing to study and continuing to read. But McGee says this. He says, you cannot get away from the fact that unless there is that reverential fear of God and obedience to him, there will not be a happy home. Children know if their parents love the Lord and if they serve him and if they obey him and if he is important in their lives. There is no substitute for the godly life. He says, you can go to all the conferences you want to, but you will never have a happy home until your relationship with God is right. When you get rightly related to God, it will amaze you how many of your problems will fall into place and take care of themselves. You see, when you fear God and walk in His ways, it blesses your future by blessing your children. You see, church family, the world will tell us that our children and that our grandchildren need the next greatest toy, or that they need the next greatest gadget. The world will tell us that our children and our grandchildren need to be involved in every single activity under the sun. And please understand that I'm not knocking those things. It's good for our kids to have things. It's good for our children and our kids and our grandchildren to be involved in extracurricular activities. But let us be reminded this morning, church family, as to what this text is saying. It's saying this, that what our children need the most is to see their parents and to see their grandparents fearing God and walking in His ways. That's what they need the most. You see, the greatest blessing that you can give your child, or the greatest blessing that you can give your grandchild or your great-grandchild, is to fear God and to walk in His ways. The one who fears the Lord and walks in His ways will have a blessed family even in the midst of a global pandemic. Aren't you grateful for these promises this morning, church family? I am so thankful for these promises that are in the Word of God. And I love this next one. I say that about every point. I understand that. But this is so cool. The one who fears the Lord and walks in His ways will take part in the greater blessing of humanity. You'll take part in the greater blessing of humanity. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. That's a reiteration of all that we've been talking about. Then it says this in verse 5. It says, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And this psalmist is saying to the Israelites, what he's saying essentially is this. When you fear God and walk in His ways, he's saying, Jerusalem will be blessed. He's saying, you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem was blessed, the Israelites were blessed. One commentator said that this verse is talking about public and communal blessings. Whenever a group of people, you know, follow God, it blesses the community, it blesses the public. Matthew Henry says that this verse could also be related to the church as a whole. Allen, in his commentary on Ephesians, says, a hope for the future of the family, and so of the community at large, as is made clear by the closing wish. Dear to pilgrims was the welfare of Jerusalem, in addition to their own welfare, since within its walls lay the temple. Season by season, pilgrims would return to this earthly link with Yahweh to worship and to receive fresh benediction upon themselves, their work, and their homes. Only if the city survived and prospered could they continue to experience this blessing. They were conscious of an essential bond between their personal lives and this focal point of the religious community. In other words, when the Israelites were fearing God and walking in His ways, Jerusalem was blessed. Therefore, the nation was blessed, and worship within the temple was blessed. And as a result, all of humanity was blessed. You can think of it like this. When all of the individuals on the team do their part, the team experiences success. When all of the students in the school obey the rules, the school will flourish. When all of the employees fulfill their quotas, the business will succeed. So how does this apply to us? It applies to us in this way. You see, when we fear God and walk in His ways as individuals, as families, whenever we fear God and walk in His ways, the church and then humanity as a whole is blessed. That's what it means. You see, church family, what our world needs the most right now, they need to see a flourishing church. That's what the world needs the most right now, is to see a flourishing church, the people of God, living out the ways of God, fearing God, walking in his ways, no matter what. That's what the world needs the most. A flourishing government is good. A flourishing economy is good. A flourishing military is good. A flourishing school is good. A flourishing business is good. But I submit to you this morning that a flourishing church is better. It's better. That's what the world needs the most. You see, when the church flourishes, it blesses society. It blesses humanity. It blesses the world. As one former pastor used to say, the local church is the hope of the world. I'm going to say that again. The local church is the hope of the world because what we have to offer is eternal. This is why it's so important to, of course, follow God and to walk in his ways. It's why it's so important to serve the church, to be involved in the church, to give financially to the church, to worship him corporately, to be involved, to invite others to church. What the world needs the most is a flourishing church. You see, whenever we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, we will take part in the greater blessing of humanity through a flourishing church. And lastly, those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways will have a blessed future. Again, this points us back to what I was talking about earlier. We may not understand what tomorrow holds, but the Bible tells us this, that whenever we follow God and walk in his ways, our future will be blessed. We're holding on to the one who holds the future in his hands. The psalmist ends this by saying, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And this verse is tied to the one above. When Jerusalem was blessed, humanity as a whole was blessed. And as a result, people were able to live long enough to see their children's children. Their futures would be blessed. And this verse, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. It sums up this entire psalm. You see, whenever we fear God and walk in his ways, our work is blessed, our marriages are blessed, the church is blessed. It causes the church to flourish, which in turn blesses society, which in turn blesses the world, which in turn will bless our futures. In closing this morning, I do want to remind us of this. And the Lord has reminded me of this in my life just many times this past week as I've been praying and studying this text. That it's impossible for us to live this out perfectly. Why? It's because we've all fallen. We all have this, you know, sin nature in our lives. We're all imperfect. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for you and I to live this out perfectly. You see, there are going to be times whenever you do not walk in the ways of God. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be times in your life where you don't fear God as you should, as I, you know, do that constantly. But this passage of Scripture, it points us to someone. It points us to the only one who has ever done this, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever walked this out perfectly. He is the only one who has feared God perfectly. He is the only one who has walked in the ways of God perfectly. You see, Jesus Christ, he is the one we look to ultimately. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we look towards Jesus Christ. That's why we hope in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's why Jesus Christ died, because we cannot live this out perfectly like we should. There will be times in our lives whenever we do make mistakes, but we rest in this truth this morning that Jesus Christ is our righteousness whenever we do not fear God or walk in his ways like we should. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. That's why we worship him. That's why we look towards him. That's why we sing to him. Paul says, and because of him, you who are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, Jesus Christ, whenever we are in Christ and we have trusted him as Lord and Savior, he becomes our righteousness. He becomes our sanctification. He becomes our redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. In other words, we don't say, yeah, I've got this. Man, I've lived this out perfectly, Caleb. We don't boast in that. I surely cannot boast in that. You cannot boast in that. That's why we boast in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, he has lived this out perfectly on your behalf. That's why we're able to receive the blessings of God, like eternity, like redemption, like sanctification. We boast in his righteousness. We boast in his perfection. We boast in his finished work on the cross. You see, whenever we're walking after God and we mess up, we do make mistakes, I want to remind us of this morning, that his grace is still sufficient. He still loves you. He still cares for you, and he is still kind. In just a few moments, church family, we're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to sing a song about this, that we boast in Christ alone, that we boast in his righteousness, we boast in his perfection, we worship him because of what he has done for us, and we're just going to sing a song of praise and a song of worship back to him. And maybe you're in this place today and there's something going on in your life, and you need someone just to pray with you. You need someone to pray over you. After we sing that song in just a few moments, we're going to have a prayer team that's over here, and they would be delighted if they could pray over you this morning. And maybe you're in this place today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why do you need to do that? Why do you need Jesus? Why do we sing to Jesus? Well, we sing to him. We need Jesus Christ because of what we've already talked about, because we've all fallen short, because we have sin in our lives. And the Bible says this, that everyone has sin in their lives. And that it also says this, that we've all fallen short of God because of the sin in our life. And the only way that we can be made right with God is by trusting in Jesus Christ, is by trusting in his finished work on the cross. It's by confessing him as Lord and looking to him alone for salvation, and by calling on him to save us. And you can do that this morning. I'm going to ask right now that you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. And maybe you're in this place today and you've never done that. You've never trusted in Christ alone for salvation, for the forgiveness of your sin. You can do that this morning. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can call on him right now. You come to the realization that you've messed up. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and you confess him as Lord and Savior. You confess that he is Lord, and that you cannot gain a righteousness or perfection on your own by doing your own thing, by being good enough. You admit that it's only through Jesus Christ and his perfection. Call on him right now to save you. What do you gain when you come to Christ? Many people think you lose everything, but in reality, that's the opposite of what is true. You gain everything. You don't lose anything. You gain everything. You gain the hope of eternal life. You gain the surest thing in the world, and that is hope for tomorrow through Jesus Christ. You gain peace. You gain joy. You gain comfort. You gain satisfaction. You gain the bread of life. You gain living water. You gain a friend that will never leave you. You gain unconditional love. You gain all of your past mistakes being erased. You don't lose anything. No, you gain everything. What do you gain when you walk in the ways of God? The blessings of God. And again, I'm not talking about riches or treasures or prosperity. That's not what I'm talking about. You gain the blessings of God, joy, contentment, godly happiness, peace, satisfaction. Joy and peace when life around you is going crazy. That's what you gain in Jesus Christ. Oh God, we love you. First and foremost, we say that we worship you today. We worship you today because of this truth that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, because there are times when we mess up. We cannot live this verse out perfectly. But we look to the one who has, and we follow his example. We receive his righteousness, and we worship him. And God, use us in our mistakes, in our hang-ups. God, use us to make much of the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we do seek to love you and to follow you, and when we fall, God, help us to just get right back up and to keep our eyes on you, knowing that you're not there with a hammer, knowing that you're not there ready to condemn, knowing you are there ready to receive us with arms open wide. Help us to get back up and to look towards you and to keep seeking you, fearing you, loving you, and walking in your ways, God. Knowing full well that you're watching over us, that you'll bless us in our work, that you'll bless our marriages and our children, that you'll use us to be a greater blessing for the society, and that you'll bless our futures. But God, we ask that you would do these things, not for our glory, not even for our fame, not for even for our comfort, but Father, we ask that you would fulfill this in us, God, for the glory and the honor and the praise of your name, God, and for the advancement of your kingdom. We love you, God, we love you, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We worship him. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, church family, as we just worship our Savior this morning?
All I have because of Jesus.